answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Prosecution laying out its theory of the case, which is, quote, this case is about a criminal conspiracy and a cover-up. The defendant, Donald Trump, orchestrated a criminal scheme to corrupt the 2016 presidential election. Then he covered up that criminal conspiracy by lying in his New York business records over and over and over again. So here they are reframing this, because usually people refer to this as the hush money case, where, yes, hush money was paid to Stormy Daniels for her to stay quiet about an affair that she had with then-candidate Trump. But having an affair is not a crime. Paying hush money is not a crime. The criminal allegation here is that the former president falsified business records in order to cover up that he had to pay this money.
Now, I will agree that sometimes the crime isn't going to be the issue. The cover-up becomes a crime. And that is everything Alvin Bragg is trying to hang on the Donald Trump case right now, that he was trying to cover it up. Trump's attorney, as you would expect, are saying there is no crime here. There's no crime. This is nonsense. You'd expect that from the other side. There's still a lot of evidence to be laid out. And at this point, if you're going to say a cover-up is a crime, I've got to raise the issue about, so he covered it up so word wouldn't get out that he had sex with a prostitute, and he paid her off to be silent, even had her sign a non-disclosure agreement, which she chose to break after getting the money, and become a weapon for the left against Trump. And if that's a crime, how do you classify what the FBI was doing on behalf of Joe Biden and the Attorney General when they had the Hunter Biden laptop for more than a year and did nothing with it, had planned to do nothing with it until the New York Post got hold of it, started releasing knew they were getting ready to release it, and then the FBI came running out and sent word out, hey, 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 this is a Russian propaganda thing, pay no attention to it. Do you see similarities there? If you're going to make a crime against Trump for paying money for a prostitute, keep silent. Oh, you want to say, well, he used false accounting on his business records and claiming it like an expense. My God, how many men and women have put things on their expense accounts which had nothing to do with their duties in office and the money as to how it should have been done. Why center in on this man and this one particular thing? You know the answer. You know it. Here I am wasting my breath and asking you to say, Larry, you're stupid if you don't know. I do know, and I know you know. And you know what? They know we know. All right, let me set the stage for you. Glad to have you. Hour number two of Larry Connors USA. We're here Monday through Friday for you, back to back. And when we're on the air, we're also streaming video. You can watch the program at Newstalk STL, Rumble, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. I'm not sure. We're not allowed on YouTube. Some of the station is, but Larry Connors USA is still banned. Quinn's over there shaking it, and no, they won't let it on. Okay, but you can also watch at Larry Connors USA, Rumble, Facebook, or Twitter. So choose your platform, listen when you can, if you can't hear the entire program while we're on the air. And at the same time, keep in mind, share it with others. We've got to multiply this effect over and over again to get more and more people aware of what is really going on. And again, I don't want you to follow me like a bunch of sheep. You have a question, you think I'm wrong, go check the facts. I'll give you detailed sources every time I point to something. earlier in the first hour, I made a mistake. I had to apologize. Let me see. We're in April. That's the first mistake I've made this year. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Maybe it's a third. No, maybe. I forget I even started that. I can't get past that. Forget it. But I had to correct it. I stated a source was CNN, and it was not. It was NBC. Same thing, but that's okay. Now, back to the trial of Donald Trump. Now, it adjourned quickly today. The jurors were sent home. They're going to return tomorrow. And, of course, in the meantime, the lawyers are working behind the scenes with different motions and so forth. But we also have to keep in mind what the ultimate goal is. Here's MSNBC.
I've said many times, I don't walk around this building being worried about a motion to vacate. I have to do my job. We did. I've done here what I believe to be the right thing, and that is to allow the House to work its will. And as I've said, you do the right thing, and you let the chips fall where they may.
So in today's Republican Party, doing the right thing could cost you your job. Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene is blasting Speaker Mike Johnson as a, quote, lame duck after the House approved much-needed aid for Ukraine. And when it comes to her push to remove him as Speaker, well, she's now saying, well, she'll let her fellow Republicans hear from their constituents before moving forward with a motion to vacate.
Now, the reason I want you to hear that, because keep in mind all the pressure that's upon Republicans while Trump is inside that trial. Speaker Johnson the other day went ahead and pushed forward this Ukraine vote, which, by the way, 210 Democrats supported it, 3 were not voting. 111 Republicans in the House said no, 100 said yes, 7 not voting. There you should see again discrepancy inside the party. So some of those in the party probably would not mind if Trump were being kept in the court forever and ever, and maybe even go to jail, those so-called Republicans. In fact, there's a question that's been raised. What would happen if Trump were indeed convicted ahead of November? This is the first criminal trial of a current or former U.S. president. Now, he could face 30, or he is facing 34 felony counts of falsifying business records, but that does not bar him from the race. But it opens up the possibility, if he's a convicted felon. I'm looking at a statement from a George Washington law professor. He said, if Trump happens to be convicted on 34 counts, that takes his toll even on someone like Donald Trump, who seems to be the Teflon candidate. And he also points out jury selection for the historic trial, as it happened last week in Manhattan, finally got down to 12 jurors and 6 alternates, got to decide what goes forward. Now, if they can prove that paying this money to Stormy Daniels in advance of the 2016 election and records were then falsified, could they convict him on that point? Well, I want to share with you a Yahoo News YouGov poll. It found an increasing share of independent voters think that the hush money case involves a serious crime. 51% said Trump should not be allowed to serve again if convicted. And here's where that comes back to the vote we saw in Ukraine the other day. That includes 16% of those who identify as Republicans saying he should not be able to serve. The disarray we have in the House right now is also across the country, but I actually think, I want to believe that across the country, Democrats joining with Republicans and independents are pushing for more conservative things, not wild woke ideology. And certainly they don't really want to spend more money on Ukraine either, not if their family's suffering. And every Democrat who voted for that money for Ukraine and did not insist and stand with Republicans, even though they numbered 111 to say no more money until we get real border security, they're going to have to go explain to their constituents as well. Oh, you're suffering? I'm sorry. I feel your pain. Like Bill Clinton said, I feel your pain. but I'm not suffering, so I'm really not going to be bothered with it. Maria Bartiromo brought up that issue with Marjorie Taylor Greene, who says she thinks it's time for Johnson to go one way or the other.
You wanted Mike Johnson out. What is your alternative plan?
Mike Johnson has betrayed America. He's betrayed Republican voters. Under his leadership, he's passed the Democrat agenda, passed the Biden administration's policies, and fully funded them. We're going to fight in Congress to do everything we can to stop this type of uniparty leadership. Mike Johnson's speakership is over. He needs to do the right thing to resign and allow us to move forward in a controlled process. Yeah. If he doesn't do so, he will be vacated.
Well, that is a lot of talk, but there's also got to be a lot of caution tape put up around Marjorie Taylor Greene and those attitudes and approaches. I want you to hear a more conciliatory and understanding of the situation from South Carolina Congressman Ralph Norman.
We have a one-seat majority. Yeah. If you want the Democrats to basically take over, then, you know, go into turmoil, try to pick another speaker. It's not the timing. There are other things that have more priorities than this. And again, who wants the job? I don't see anybody lining up to take it. And we owe it to the American people to do what we can, try to persuade Mike Johnson to stop some of the, to fight, I guess is the best word I know to do it. And hopefully we can do that.
Hopefully so. So we've got that hanging in the balance as to what's going to happen in the House, reference Mike Johnson, and what we're going to be able to accomplish or not accomplish with what's left of this Congress. And then we got Trump on trial, and he can't get out on campaign, although Biden is. And the first witness they brought in today was David Pecker. I know you don't make the jokes about Pecker and the Stormy Daniel porn story. It's Pecker was the then National Enquirer editor-in-chief, and they ran the network of sources. And according to Pecker, that any juicy stories had to run by me before we published, and I had final say on if they went in. And so, therefore, they're saying that he was squashing any of these stories that would be negative to Trump. Well, the National Enquirer is not exactly a standard of journalistic ethics, nor is CNN and NNN and MSNBC and ABC, CBS, NBC, blah, 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 blah. Because they gave up on journalism a long time ago. But the intent here would be to show that everybody's trying to protect Trump. Well, that brings me right back to those protecting Joe Biden and the Hunter Biden laptop story. It is a merry-go-round. And every poll, every survey continues to show that Joe Biden is in trouble while Trump is tied up in court. And Biden is on the campaign trail. And he's getting a lot of help from state-controlled media spread more lies.
And he was proud, very proud of his $2 trillion tax cut when he was president that overwhelmingly benefited the wealthy and created the biggest corporations and exploded the federal debt. I cut the federal deficit. He exploded it. By the way, there's no exaggeration here. It's going to expire. And if I'm reelected, it's going to stay expired.
Now, here is Biden saying, I cut the federal deficit. Is that not what he said? Yes, he did. In 2023, our federal deficit is $1.7 trillion, equals 6% of our gross domestic product. And I mean, our spending is still way, way out of line. But here's what he's talking about on trying to cut Donald Trump's taxes that he said benefited only the wealthy. Let me ask you that. Were you better off under Trump and the taxes, or will you be better when Biden gets through with them? When he's talking about them expiring, no exaggeration here, no kidding, Japan. Come on, Joe, no kidding. Yes, the taxes that Trump put into place, the GOP tax breaks, established by the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act of 2017, sunsets at the end of 2025. It did make some tax cuts to corporate profit permanent. It lowered individual tax rates. That will expire December 31, 2025. Now, as far as what you're paying in taxes right now, depending on your status and your income, it depends on which bracket you're in. It actually did a good job, I think, of rearranging and helping out and getting rid of some of it, but maybe your situation is different, so I'm not trying to say everybody's in the same boat. But we all need to be pulling the same way, and that is, if we're going to spend any of our tax dollars, make sure they go for the right things. But again, as I mentioned, and all the polls in the most recent NBC survey show that Joe Biden is losing on almost every major issue. NBC.
We talk about the erosion for Biden, and now you start to see it. Look at these numbers. Trump advantages on all of these traits.
And I stop here because competent and effective, that was President Biden's, the crux of his campaign pitch back in 2020.
And we actually polled this question in 2020, and it was basically the exact opposite. It was Biden wow. with about a 10-point advantage over Trump. And again, same with handling a crisis. Biden had the edge over Trump. And how about this? It's the former president, the current president. We don't really see matchups like this. Well, now we can measure it. Who has the strong record as president? And again, Trump outpacing Biden on that front. And again, you got to mention this one too. Necessary mental and physical health. We asked this 4 years ago. It was a wash. It's now a clear liability for Joe Biden. So these are all troubling numbers for Biden.
Is there anything good in any of that for Joe Biden? The answer is no, none. They'll spin it. They'll try to find a way around it. Oh, but we're not done. There's more on that NBC survey.
Put this in some context here. These are other recent presidents at this point in their reelection campaigns. Where were their approval ratings? Again, you see Biden's 42%. And one thing that jumps out, they were all higher than Joe Biden. The other thing, the two presidents on this list who did not win reelection, of course, Donald Trump 4 years ago, he was at 46%. And back in 1992, George H.W. Bush, he was at 43%. Biden below both of those. The last time Biden's been at this level, 46%, you got to go back to the start of 2023. The last time he was higher than that, you got to go back to the summer of 2021, his first year as president. So Biden has some work to do on that front.
Now, I know those are a lot of numbers to be thrown at you on the radio. Just look at it this way. Joe is coming down the slide, and it's getting steeper. And at the end, plop. But they got the Chicago convention coming up. And the Illinois governor, he is a big supporter of Joe Biden because they're bringing the convention to his state.
People understand that there are really only two candidates that have a path to victory in this country and in Michigan. And, of course, that's Joe Biden and Donald Trump. And the challenge for people is, you know, you're looking at two very different sets of values. And I think people understand that it's Joe Biden that stands for American values.
Yeah, Joe Biden stands for American values. I don't know what your values are, but I don't see any of my Bidens reflected in Joe Biden, beginning with integrity. I don't see it. But I'll leave that for you to decide because it is your decision. Sundown today officially at 7:45, and that marks the beginning of Passover. Coming up, more on those rallies. Lock and load, ready, on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Question, do you know what vermiculite is? It is an insulation in the attics of hundreds of thousands of homes and public buildings. Looks like kitty litter, but often contains asbestos. Wellington Environmental is the largest company in the Midwest that can remove that hazard for you. Wellington has what is called the General, a powerful industrial vacuum that can suck vermiculite out of the attic. Hang on, there's something else you should know. Many of you might qualify for up to a $4,000 rebate. You should at least contact Wellington to see if you qualify. And here's something else. Wellington arrives at the time they give you, not sometime within 4 hours. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. WellingtonSTL.com. WellingtonSTL.com. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner. Better. Safer. Be well with Wellington.
Talk radio made in St. Louis.
Very excited for what you guys are doing for the St. Louis community.
For St. Louis.
Relevant local talk.
Saying what we are thinking.
This is News Talk STL.
No, you guys are awesome. I love you. And it really, it's a tremendous honor to be on the station.
News, analysis, and opinion.
Thanks for us covering the local angle.
Come on, people. This is America.
We better open our eyes.
Really local?
Really good.
News Talk STL at 1019-941 and NewsTalkSTL.com.
I have a personal story about why I trust McGuire Moving and Storage. A relative needed to escape an unhealthy relationship. Josh, Christine, and the McGuire team were understanding, even comforting. That's why I'm honored to endorse McGuire. Since 1935, McGuire's been moving and caring for families. So, moving a home, office, local, or long distance, McGuireMoving.com. McGuireMoving.com.
Hey, St. Louis, my name is Rob Carter. My new primetime show will explore the collaboration between corrupt media and our corrupted political system. From manipulated elections, open borders, mandated medicines, and unconstitutional lockdowns, what is going on? The Rob Carter Show. Let's talk about it on The Rob Carter Show. Join me weeknights from 8 to 10 p.m. on News Talk STL.
Rob Carter, live and local, weeknights at 8 on News Talk STL. This is News Talk STL.
Well, I started out with $1 gambled with a man and I won me another, bought me a gun and I robbed my brother. I'm bad, but I don't care, boys. I'm gonna be a millionaire.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
My guest, I'm sure you've seen on numerous news outlets from time to time, in fact quite often. He's an expert on China, Gordon G. Chang. You can follow him on Twitter, at Gordon G. Chang. I strongly suggest you do so. Gordon, first of all, welcome aboard again, sir.
Thank you so much, Larry.
I want to get into China, obviously, but before I do, you and I have talked previously about how China and Russia are trying to expand their footprint anywhere around the world, especially in impoverished countries. I want to ask you your thoughts first before we get into China. Russia and Nigeria, or I should say Niger.
Well, yes, and Niger has just tossed out the U.S. military, and we're leaving. And this is no coincidence. What's happening is that in North Africa, Russia and China are fueling insurgencies that look like wars. So this is really the third proxy war that China is involved in. It's involved in Ukraine by supporting Russia. It's involved in the Middle East by supporting Iran against Israel. And together with Russia, it is taking the rim of Africa, the northern rim of Africa, and throwing it into chaos.
Well, now, just last December, maybe November, I think Secretary Blinken said, oh, we're all good here in Africa. Everything's good with Niger.
Well, he obviously was wrong at the time. And
he knew it. And he knew it, didn't he?
I think he had to know it because he knows much more than, for instance, I do. But clearly at that time, North Africa was aflame and Blinken really was not very honest and candid with the American people. And for the events of the last week, especially in Niger, you know, we have learned that the U.S. is at risk.
In fact, they had that military coup prior to him making that statement back in July of 2023. By the way, help us understand, it's much like we did with Qatar and Qatar. Now, is it Niger or Niger, which is now the preferred? Or will that change tomorrow?
I think
tomorrow?
It's the latter.
Niger? Okay.
But, you know, in Qatar and Qatar, that is, I think it is actually Qatar, but that's another mystery to me.
Yeah, okay. All right, let's get to China itself, because, again, as you have well pointed out, they are looking to expand footprint everywhere. They're just in Cuba right now. They're all over South America. They're coming and being friends with the impoverished nations and basically putting them under their control.
Yes, and, you know, one could say, well, maybe the United States shouldn't be in Africa. I disagree, but the point is they're doing this in Latin America and the Caribbean, which is now, you know, much more loyal and much more aligned with China than it is with us. And so we're talking about countries which are very close to us, including, for instance, China's footprint in the Bahamas is extremely concerning. Just for instance, they got a $3 billion container port there that makes no sense. That it's going to have economic problems. The Chinese Navy is going to take it over, which means we're going to have China's warships within 87 miles of Palm Beach, Florida.
Wow.
That is where all of this is going. And we're seeing China take over Cuba. It's taken over Venezuela. It looks like they have given the green light for Venezuela to attack Guyana. This is getting to be quite serious.
Well, that brings us to the most dramatic question is how close are we to direct war with China?
We are about one incident away, and that is clear from what's occurring in the Philippines right now. The Biden administration has issued, the State Department has issued about 9 written warnings to China that we are prepared to use force to discharge our obligations pursuant to the Mutual Defense Treaty with the Philippines. Biden has given oral warnings to the same effect, the most recent one on the 11th of this month. China is completely ignoring them. It's engaged in provocative activities.
Wonder why. Why are they ignoring from the President of the United States?
They obviously don't believe him. you would think that they would not want to take on the U.S. Navy and U.S. Air Force, but that's what they're doing right now. So I guess they believe, and I only can guess what Xi Jinping is doing, but I guess he believes that the United States will not defend the Philippines, which means that there's probably a big mismatch in perceptions, because I do believe that we would, which means that, as you point out, there's war. And if there's war in East Asia, that means that essentially there are 4 wars going on around the world on 3 continents.
Right.
And that starts to look like World War III.
And when you say just one incident, what one comes to mind as the quickest trigger that could be pulled?
A killing of a Philippine sailor. On the 5th of this month, China injured 3 Filipino sailors at Second Thomas Shoal, which is in the South China Sea. Fortunately, none of them died. But if one of them died, I think that the Philippines would invoke Article 4 of their Mutual Defense Treaty, and we would have to come to their assistance and aid, which would put us in direct military confrontation with China. If China didn't back down, there probably would be fighting, and that fighting could easily escalate.
And you're talking about U.S. boots on the ground?
I'm talking about, yes, well, U.S. ships in the sea.
Right.
But yes.
Would you expect the Biden administration would honor the treaty or start looking for ways to, we'll let that one go this time?
Well, I don't know. You'd have to ask the president that. When Biden was vice president at Scarborough Shoal in early 2012, the administration brokered an agreement between Manila and Beijing. And this was for both sides to withdraw their craft from Scarborough. Only the Philippines complied, left China in control of the shoal, which means that China seized the territory of the Philippines. The Biden administration decided not to make an issue of it. And because of that, basically China went on a rampage across the South China Sea. I would think that even Biden learned from that mistake. But the point is, we do have a mutual defense treaty. If Manila does invoke it, this means the credibility of the U.S. throughout the world is involved. It's not just in the Philippines, not just in East Asia, but across the world. And so I think that the United States would honor its obligations. If it didn't, we know what the Chinese will do. They will continue their aggressive march, and we will have to fight them closer to home.
Well, the other part of that is the other nations are watching. Israel, of course, supposedly our one and only true trusted ally in the Middle East. And if they see that we're not going to honor that, I mean, thank God Ukraine was not in NATO when Russia decided to go in, But all we got from this president, if you're thinking of taking advantage of it, don't. And yet they continue to hit the Gulf of Aden and the Red Sea.
Yes, and the United States actually gave assurances to Ukraine as part of the 1994 Budapest Memorandum. We have not really honored those. And so I think that the Russians and the Chinese saw that, which is the reason why they've been marching on North Africa, and while they felt that they could attack Israel on October 7th. So this is a rapidly deteriorating situation around the world. And this is just like 1936 to 1939. Mm-hmm. You know, Britain and France, they gave warnings over the remilitarization of the Rhineland, didn't back them up. They gave warnings about Austria, didn't back those up. You know, they gave warnings over Hitler's failure to honor the Munich Pact of 1938, and they didn't back those up either. And eventually they ended up in war anyway over Poland. So this same dynamic is occurring right now.
And we
so
saw the same thing
with Americans.
We saw the same thing when Russia moved into Czechoslovakia.
Yes, well, the dynamic there, I think, starts a little bit later. It starts in 2008 over Georgia. We didn't have any obligations to Georgia, but we did to Ukraine, and we did not honor the obligations to Ukraine.
Someone
so what we're
stated,
seeing right now is...
I'm sorry, go ahead, sir.
So what we're seeing right now is Vladimir Putin and Xi Jinping believe they can do what they want. And we know only bad things can occur once deterrence has failed.
I've heard it stated, and I don't have the source in front of me, that right now we have a president who whispers and speaks softly and carries a twig.
Well, it's actually even worse than that, because Biden has been issuing warnings to China and Russia and has not backed them up. And so basically Xi Jinping and Vladimir Putin believe that no warning from the U.S. is worth anything. This is the same thing as I mentioned with Britain and France. And we know how that ended up. Yeah. That was World War II in Europe. And we're seeing the same dynamic right now. So this is one of those situations where it, you know, it could be the Philippines, could be Taiwan, could be someplace else. But China believes that it can do what it wants, which means that there will be war, people will die, and they'll probably die in great numbers.
Gordon, you've given us a lot to keep us awake at night, and I appreciate your time, sir.
Well, thank you so much, Larry. I appreciate it.
Thank you. We'll do it again. Gordon G. Chang, you can follow him at Twitter, at Gordon G. Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, and I strongly encourage you to do so. I do, and stay abreast of what things are happening. Speaking of China, you know, if we're going to have true electric vehicles, the lithium batteries, we're told, would have to come from China's control. They don't have to, and there are efforts to change that. Maybe.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
John Beale knows that new roofing companies can look big and trustworthy on the internet, but the fact is 96% of new roofing companies go out of business within the first 5 years. John Beale has a reputation for excellence, reliability, plus lowest cost, best roof, best guarantee. Those here today, gone tomorrow roofers, they can't match John Beale. For home or business, trust my friend John. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perished in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
If you like premium cigars and spirits, take my advice. Check out Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield. The Lit Cigar owners just got back from a major convention in Vegas, and now every day, Lit is getting shipments of special cigars that will certainly amaze you. Check the Lit Cigar Facebook, staying on top of special events. Also, Lit can host a private event for you, your friends, your business. LitSTL.com. LitSTL.com. Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield.
This is News Talk STL.
Not a yes, sir. Not a follower. Fit the box, fit the mold, have a seat in the foyer. Take a number, I was lightning before the thunder.
Thunder, 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 thunder,
thunder, thunder, thunder, thunder, thunder, thunder.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Now again, we've been saying and have for some time, if we're going to have to go to lithium batteries, we're going to be basically hostage of the Chinese. They have vast deposits. They don't mind using slave labor, Uyghur Muslims or anyone else, to go down those mines. Regardless of their age or their health condition, you will bring something back to the surface or you'll stay down there with that mine. But we have lithium here if we're going to get permission to deal with it. Let me give you a couple of examples. First of all, let's begin with what they are doing in Arkansas with ExxonMobil Corporation. They announced late last year, that they are going to start, and are probably by now, that was in November it was stated, drilling the first lithium well in Arkansas. ExxonMobil announcing plans to become a leading producer of lithium, which is a key component of electric vehicle batteries. Let's stop it right there, 1 second. The idea of the electric vehicles was to get away from fossil fuels, right? Coal that fires our gas plants and homes and so forth. And then the gasoline that runs vehicles currently. Lithium is a fossil fuel. Give me a break. It's still a fossil fuel. It's just named lithium instead of coal or gas. But anyway, ExxonMobil, which does drilling for gas and oil, now looking at southwest Arkansas, they say it holds a significant lithium deposits. So they're now hoping to tap into that, and first production targeted now for 2027. So they're in the process of laying everything out, engineers plotting, running core samples, things of that nature. In early 2023, Exxon acquired the rights to 120,000 acres of the Smackover Formation in southern Arkansas. It is, according to Economic Times, one of the most prolific lithium resources of its type in North America. Note that I said one of. Well, if it's one of, then there's got to be others, right? Yes, there are, Larry. Glad you asked that question. And here's another discovery that could significantly reduce America's reliance on China. This is from the Economic Times. The preceding article I was reading was actually directly from an Exxon publication in their public release statement, because they wanted to brag about how they were going to be able to do it. But the Economic Times is talking about a discovery that carries the potential to significantly reduce America's reliance on China when it comes to this indispensable material, lithium. It's still kind of a fossil fuel, don't you think? You have to mine for it and extract it and bring it out. It's not solar. It's not wind. You're once again bringing a fuel source out of the ground, like you already are doing with oil and gas. Jeez, these guys, they talk out both sides of their mouth. But anyway, as it's pointing out in the Economic Times, as of, let me give you the date on it so you can look it up. I never try to hide this stuff from you. This one is dated September 15, 2023. I've since seen numerous articles since that time, but I'm using this as a prime source. Here's the way they write it. A seismic development in the world of mineral resources has emerged along the Nevada-Oregon border. signaling a potential revolution in the global lithium supply chain. Geologists have uncovered a colossal lithium deposit within the McDermott caldera. Its implications could be felt far and wide, especially by the U.S. in its quest for lithium independence. Now, this is very interesting. We had energy independence under Trump and would have continued that until Biden began to shut everything down. And now he wants them to go out and drill, but won't give them the proper lands and leases. And at the same time, they're thinking, why should we spend our money? We're making a lot of profits. We'll just sit on it because who knows when you're going to turn around and say, shut it off again. We want to be lithium independent to make lithium batteries for electric cars. Ah, but there's still a flaw. I'll come to that in a moment. Again, back to the Economic Times statement, hidden within the geological wonders of the McDermott caldera. And again, this is the Nevada-Oregon border area. A lithium mother load, as they refer to it, of epic proportions, estimated to house an astonishing 20 to 40 million metric tons of lithium. And they said that what really sets this discovery apart isn't just the size, it's the unprecedented quality of the lithium that's inside. Experts anticipate these lithium reserves are of a caliber that surpasses anything previously found anywhere in the world. They say this is projected to nearly double any previous record, which stood at approximately 23 million metric tons. Pretty amazing. Right here in our own country, we don't have to rely on China. Unless we have a government administration that does not want to let digging and oil leasing and gas leasing take place in America. Now, I know environmentally folks are going to say, well, I have to be worried about the environment. You do know that China does not give a damn about the environment. Whatever you think you're saving here, they're polluting at their end. And your job should be catch up and surpass. Right now, we're just trying to, well, we're not even trying to catch up. Let me rephrase that. We're not trying to catch up. There are projections by a Belgian geologist. Said the world's going to require 1 million tons of lithium by 2040 if we all go to fully electric, which I don't think we will. But this Belgian geologist said what you have in that Oregon deposit in Nevada, he said you have the opportunity, the potential to revolutionize the global lithium landscape. That would affect pricing, supply, security, geopolitics. Now, again, the electric vehicle industry relies largely on lithium for battery production. Some call it white gold. Indeed, it is. And up until now, on these discoveries and more of them becoming apparent, we've got it right here. We don't have to go to China. We knew that China had it because they were the ones digging it, disrupting their environment, and they did not care. They knew the value of that white gold was going to come. And that's what they're trying to do. This is not a fool's gold. It's a white gold, and it has real value. If we proceed down the electric avenue of vehicles, but we've already seen the problems and difficulties, haven't we? The sheer size and weight of those batteries, and the fact that they might last 5 to 7 years before you have to replace them. And the cost value is about a third or at least a fourth of what you had paid originally for the vehicle, which is now depreciated. But you're putting a brand new battery in that was worth about 25 to 30 or more percent of the car in the beginning. And we know that in cold weather in Detroit, they had to shut down their fleet of electric buses because they wouldn't start in the cold. And we know that if you're running defroster, heater, or air conditioner in an electric vehicle, your mileage goes down, way down. Now, that's another reason for a, quote, hybrid. But if you're hybrid, you're using gas, that's good, in case you can't get somewhere for a charging station. But if you have a lithium battery in there, the weight of it is putting more wear and tear on the tires, the rubber, which means you're going to have to, you're right, you're going to have to refine more rubber, which, again, you're going to lift from the world and the nature to create rubber and then create tires. It could be a vicious cycle, but it's been an effective cycle to provide wheels for us. Unless you want to go back to Barney and pebbles and back to the Stone Age where you just jump in it and pedal it with your feet. Good luck with that. Oh, by the way, that brings me to the other point I was going to raise for you. Tesla is cutting prices in a number of its major markets, including China and Germany. They're cutting prices there because they also had to cut prices in the U.S. Why? Well, they're falling sales, for one thing. Falling sales and an intensifying price for the electric vehicles because the Chinese are going to turn them out cheaper than you can do at Tesla. Musk, who, of course, built Tesla, reported last month global vehicle deliveries of the first quarter fell for the first time in nearly 4 years. The China electric vehicles are surpassing moving forward. Tesla shares slipped at almost 3% in pre-market trading today, and they've fallen something like 40% so far this year. Tesla was not such a good investment, stock-wise or otherwise. As I mentioned in the beginning of the hour today, in the beginning of the show, with sundown today, that officially was 7:45 p.m., Passover is underway, so we wish a blessed Passover to our Jewish friends. But on this Jewish holiday and through this last weekend in advance of it, we've seen anti-Semitism rallies at various locations, and of course, poison Ivy League universities are an epic center.
Protesters against the war in Gaza are marching in the streets after police in New Haven have arrested students and removed them from their encampment.
Yeah, organizers say at least 49 people have been arrested already this morning at Yale. Many of them have been camping out at Yale for days, occupying Meineke Plaza. Now, they're doing this in solidarity with campus movements all across the country, including more than 100 students who were arrested at Columbia University last week.
Yeah, so here's video from this morning when police first got there. Before 7 o'clock, the group has asked Yale trustees to disclose their investments in the military weapons manufacturing companies, and they tell us Yale's president gave them a 10-minute meeting where they asked university trustees to divest. The university has not agreed to do that.
Of course not. They're going to take the money we're making different things and divest it simply because a bunch of students got their panties in a wad over something they don't even understand. Columbia University did cancel all in-person classes today, telling students you had to go get it online. We're going to hold classes virtually all day Monday, telling faculty and staff they need to work remotely. One Jewish professor was denied university entrance. In fact, they invalidated his pass so he could get in, his access card. He wanted to work at the university that day, and they said, no, you can't. In which I saw another thing from police stating they could not go on the campus of Yale, Columbia, and so forth unless asked to because it is private property. Well, you live in a home. If you own your home, that's your private property. I don't know of anything that keeps the police from coming on there if they choose to and if they can get a search warrant or whatever they choose, if they're chasing you or whatever. But they did not want to take any action. They're hiding behind the laws, what they're doing to that extent. They were not doing it. They did begin to arrest 100 pro-Palestinian demonstrators after they set up an encampment on the campus. Said they could be facing criminal trespass. And one of them, the daughter of Ilhan Omar, she was arrested and suspended for organizing an anti-Israeli encampment protest. In fact, The university, to its credit, printed out her picture and details given to staff and security to ensure she does not re-enter. She proudly describes herself, this is the daughter of a woman who is a U.S. congresswoman. Now, granted, at this age, she is responsible for her own actions. I don't drop all of these on her mama, but the way she was raised is reflected, believe me. She declares that she is a proud communist. And, of course, her mother has a history of voting against bills designed to support Israel and the Jewish community. And, again, joining with those talking about and arguing and shouting from the river to the sea. She even voted against a recent bill classifying from the river to the sea as anti-Semitic. Said, no, it's not anti-Semitic. Let me remind those who think these young students in particular, they're doing the right thing, even if they're really engaged, not just tag-alongs. You try doing some of this stuff in a Sharia-controlled country, you'd lose your head. There was a sign the other day, gays for Palestine. They don't want gays in Palestine. You'd lose your head as well. But I might add, it appears that many of these students have already lost their head. Poison Ivy League universities helping. As always, I thank you for listening. Rob Carter Show coming up next. Remember our pledge. One nation under God.